Colin, thank you very much indeed. And I would like to thank Handley and Eleanor very much indeed for the invitation to come along to speak here this evening and to bring the precious word of God to you. Thank you all, each and every one, for coming along. Glad to see you all, and thank you very much indeed also for your prayers. I'll give you a wee little report on the work of the radio ministry, and then we'll go to another hymn before we bring you the word of the Lord. The word is going out every week, every Sunday morning between 9 and 10 on Radio North, and that covers most of Northern Ireland. And it goes out every Sunday night between 8:30 and 9:30. Every Tuesday, 5:15, and every Friday, 5:15 to get the traffic on the way home. Now, every morning, every weekday morning at 7:30 for 10 minutes, we have a thought for the day. And that's repeated again at 7:45 at night, 12 midnight, and 4:00 in the morning. So that's Radio North. Then on down to Finn Valley FM. That goes out every Saturday night from 7:30 until 8:30. Then down in Castlebar, the word goes out there from 11:30 until 12:00. And on down to West Limerick, 102 FM, the word is going out there every Sunday morning between 9 and 10, and they repeat it the following Saturday night at 1:00 in the morning. I tracked that station in the car, and I was picking it up for 100 miles. From where I could pick it up to where I was losing it is 100 miles. Now, there's a lot of houses in that area and a lot of people. And then up to Dublin, Radio Maria, it goes out every Sunday night between 9 and 10, and I've been on that station now since June. And that's another call of God to be a light in that area. And it's on the television, not to see, but to hear on the channel. And you can get that in the south of Ireland and in the north of Ireland on the TV channel. And also on DAB radio in Cork, and also on the internet. They say they've got about 15,000 listeners on the internet and 10,000 on apps and phones and things like that. So that's what's happening there. Then over in Wales, this morning the word went out between 8 and 9 in Moan FM, and that's broadcasting, covering all the area from Holyhead down to Llandudno, and there's a lot of people in that area. Then 5:30, there's a hospital radio in Carmarthen, that went out today, 5:30 till 6:00, it goes out every Sunday. And then tonight at 8:00, the word will go out from Aberystwyth between 8 and 9. So that's the work of the radio ministry. Thank you for your prayers and for your help. There's a lot of preparation, a lot of recording, a lot of delivering, and a lot of posting, and we're 100% in God's will. But thank you for your fellowship and for your help, for that's what keeps the thing going. And thank you very much indeed for that. And we're living in great days of opportunity when the word is going out. Thanks be to God. I'm taking a reading from John's Gospel. John's Gospel and chapter 13. John's Gospel chapter 13, and it's verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus saith unto him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And then we're taking another reading from Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And we know that God will prosper the reading of his holy and his precious word. When we think about Peter and his denial, many believe that his denial was his first failure, but it wasn't. In life, those of us who know and love the Lord and have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when I get saved at the start, I thought, that's great. I have been delivered from hell. I am now bound for heaven, and all is good. Not realizing that every day of life had already been laid out, controlled by the triune God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I asked a journalist one time, how did you become so successful in your work? And the answer came back, pay attention to detail. Pay attention to detail. Now there's, in Porta down there, there is a Grafton on the corner, and they've got writing on their window, we listen, we react, and we deliver. We're thinking tonight, and the Bible tells us, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? I'm going to look at this man, Peter, a very privileged man. And he didn't fall, first of all, at the first denial. In this, and I'll give it to you in my everyday language, the Lord had already washed their feet. The Lord had broken the bread and poured the wine. They've sang a hymn, and they've come out of that gathering. And we're talking about a man who a few days before was with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, who heard audible the voice of God the Father, who saw with his two eyes Moses and Elijah, Moses back from the dead, and Elijah continuing his employment by God Almighty. And he's been through all that. And so we come to this point, and they've sang a hymn. They've come outside. And Peter says to the Lord, where are you going? And if I came to Colin and I says, Colin, where are you going today? I'm going to Belfast. Can I go with you? Not today, John. It's not convenient. So I know not to go, so I have the sense not to go or to follow on. Peter says to the Lord, Lord, where are you going? Whither goest thou? And the Lord says, where I'm going, you cannot go with me now. But you will follow me later. You will follow me afterwards. So what Peter should have done was he should have waited. At that point, heard what Christ was saying in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, and then cleared out of the whole situation. You cannot follow me now, Peter, but you will afterwards. He should have stood reverently and waited till Christ had finished everything he was saying. And as Christ took the first step to head across to the Brook Kedron, Peter should have gone in the opposite direction. Shouldn't have been there at all. Lord, where are you going? Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now. You see, Peter saw the man in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he didn't see Christ, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. The slightest thought that you and I get from God Almighty must be acted upon immediately. Either not to go a place or to do something. The voice of God. Do we listen? Do we react? And do we obey? So we're going to look now at this man and see an awful situation that happened to him. Lord, where are you going? Whither goest thou? Where I'm going, you cannot go with me now, but you will later. So we see Peter, and he starts every step. Imagine feet that Christ washed, walking in total disobedience to God Almighty. Feet that were washed with the very hands of the Lord Jesus Christ are step by step walking in total disobedience. Where I'm going, you cannot go with me now, but you will later. Peter never paid attention to that very important voice of the triune God. You say, well, what happened to man? I'm going to read you a verse from Isaiah. I'll not ask you to turn to it, but I'll read it to you. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. So now we look at this man, Peter. Step by step, feet that were washed by the very hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every step is a step of disobedience in the wrong direction. And so he continues his path of disobedience into the garden. And in that garden, Christ discovers him asleep twice at the prayer meeting. Twice he was found asleep. What an embarrassing situation. After a while, Judas comes into the garden with a band of people to take Christ away. And one of those people is a man called Malchus, the high priest's servant. And Peter's in the garden, and the blessed Lord Jesus Christ is the holy, spotless, perfect Lamb of God, who has set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to bear away the sins of the entire world. And he knows Peter should not be with him in this place. So Peter sees them coming to take Christ, and he lifts a sword. Now, he didn't intend to cut the ear of the man. He probably intended to cut the head off him completely. So he swings and he cuts his ear off. Imagine that. Attempted murder in a scene where Christ wanted nothing but holiness and purity, as he would bear away the sin of the world. So the Lord resolved the entire situation, and he healed his ear. And then they went their way. Step by step, more steps of disobedience with feet that have been washed by the blessed Christ. A message he was given not to follow any further at this stage has been totally ignored, totally forgotten about, and he goes on as if Christ had never told him. And now he's in a place, he's cold, it's winter time, and he goes and he heats his hands at the fire. And this little girl comes to him and she says, you're with Christ. No, he didn't know. Short while later, somebody else comes. You're definitely with Christ because your speech gives you away. We know where you're from, the same place as Christ. No. Now this bit here is amazing and absolutely unbelievable, this next bit. Malchus, that he cleaned the ear off, who was so close to him. You can't be close to somebody and clean the ear off them. And Malchus says to him, he says, you were in the garden, for he says, I saw you. Not at all, he says. I never saw you at all. Peter, who had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, his feet had been washed by the blessed Christ, He's so close to a man, that close to him, and then he loses it. And he starts to curse and to swear, and he gets so angry. And then the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter as much as to say, I told you so. I told you so. And there it was. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. So Peter now is in an awful fix. He went out and he wept bitterly. Now he didn't weep bitterly because he had cleaned the ear of the man. He didn't weep bitterly because he cursed and swore at Malchus. He wept bitterly because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved him. And he wept bitterly. And so he clears from the scene. And if you're ever in a fix and you've lost your way spiritually and you don't know the way, look out and listen for those little commands of Christ. For wrapped up in those little commands of Christ is a restoration plan. And in life, you and I have lost our way many times, perhaps years ago, through trying to find God's will. And maybe we read some book and it led us the wrong way. Maybe we get some verse and it led us the wrong way because it wasn't at the right time and in the right place. Maybe somebody told us something and we went the wrong way in God's work, but we missed the blessing. Our lives are so detailed, already laid out for us. And when you watch it all falling into place, it's something tremendous indeed. So now we look at Peter, a man who is in an awful fix because he missed one big command. Lord, where are you going? Whither goest thou? Where I'm going now, you cannot go with me, but you can follow me later. That's perfectly simple. But he disobeyed the call. How many Christians across our land are living in disobedience? How many Christians across the world are living in perhaps disobedience against the call of God in their own life, whatever that may be? And what about the unsaved person? In Noah's time, God says to Noah, he says, my spirit, he says, shall not always strive with man. And God strove with millions and millions of people in Noah's time. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And the same voice that Peter heard was the same voice that millions of people heard through the preaching of Noah to repent and turn away from their sins. They wouldn't listen. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? So now Peter is in an awful situation, an awful fix. You would say, Peter, it's all over. You would say you feel the Lord miserably. I found asleep twice at the prayer meeting. Tried to kill the man, Malchus. Cursed and swore that you never heard of the Lord nor knew him. Told Malchus you didn't know him. He broke a whole rake of commandments in one swipe. He says it's all over. It's no use. He thought it was no use. And so he goes to fish. But great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. After the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, a number of days later, Peter was out fishing. And he'd given up all hope of everything. But I'm going to read these seven commands to you that God gave to Peter. And by the way, if Peter had got any of these wrong or deliberately went wrong, it's possible he never would have had a ministry. And so God comes, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. John 21, verse 6, verse 5 says, he asked them, have you any meat? And they said, no. First command, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. He could have argued with the Lord and said, Lord, we have been in this water all night. There's not even a sardine in there. No. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. First command. So this one's obeyed. They cast there, for they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Command number 2, verse 12. Jesus said unto them, or verse 10, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Bring the fish which you have now caught. That's command number 2. Now every single one of these commands is inextricably linked. If you're going to a building and there's 12 stairs on it, you have to use the 12 stairs to get to where you're going. In this command, there are 7 new calls, 7 steps of obedience that have to be followed. So he's cast the net. They've cast the net. That's the first command. The next one is bring the fish which you've now caught. Verse 12 is command number 3. Come and dine. Come and dine. So Peter has now obeyed. He's following everything perfectly, and all is going very good. So there's now a set of 3 commands in John 21, verses 15 to 19. So when they had dined, and before I read this to you, I need to explain that Judas made a hash, or what do you call it? Peter made a hash, 3 bad hashes in that denial. So before anything can happen, as Colin gave out to him, sins have to be dealt with and washed away, and a new basis has to be made, and a new confession has to be made. So he's denied the Lord 3 times, and this has to be undone. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's more than the fish. He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. First command in this set of 3, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. God always keeps his promises. In John 13, when he says to the Lord, where are you going? And the Lord says, you cannot go with me now, but you will follow me here afterwards. So here is the 7th commandment where God Almighty keeps his promises. And he saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. You're studying Peter in your Bible reading, and you'll discover a man who got it right. You'll discover a man who was converted, because Christ says, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. So it's possible to be in the Mount of Transfiguration, as it were, and have that blessing. It's possible to be in a situation where Christ has washed the very feet, and still to live, breaking the very call of God and disobeying the call of God within the life. He says, I will instruct thee, Psalm 32 and 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Peter, he followed the Lord. And one of his writings was, he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to those who follow him. Peter, he got it all wrong. He disobeyed the Lord. But then the Lord pulled him out of it. And the Lord reinstated him. The Lord restored him. And he spent his life with those three words that are in Grafton's corner window. We listen, we react, and we deliver. We listen, we react, and we deliver. For many, they hear the voice of God, and they think nothing of it. And because it is so tender, they just think it's a thought, not realizing it was God that was speaking gently through the thought pattern. Disobedience to the smallest command ends in great disaster. There are many characters in the precious Word of God who argued with the Lord and who missed tremendous blessings. You take Lot and his wife and the children, and they're leaving those cities. The angels have taken them by the very hands and led them out. And on their way out, the angel says to him, he says, go to the mountain and flee there. Lot starts to argue with the voice of God. The angel said, God Almighty has sent us to destroy these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding villages. Flee to the mountains. And Lot starts to argue, and he says, no. He said, I'll not make it. You see, to argue with the voice of God is to doubt God Almighty. He that believeth not shall be damned. End of story. Lot's wife, because he argued and they went in a different direction to Zoar, it gave her the opportunity to disobey God and look back. And she became a pillar of salt. Disobedience to the smallest command ends up in disaster. The command of God, the response of the listener, and the outcome to both God and the listener. If the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? If the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Saul in the Old Testament was a man. And you say, that man was blessed of God. The Holy Spirit of God came upon Saul. And he made tremendous predictions into the future. He was used mightily. And it was renowned round the towns and round the cities. Is not Saul also one of the prophets? But the hatred that he had for the man who penned Psalm 23 was unbelievable. And every call and every pleading of the Holy Spirit of God to Saul was this. Saul, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor David as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Saul, he was a wicked man. I thought the only sin he committed was throwing a javelin at David, and that was the end of it. Not at all. Saul was a wicked man who took 3,000 soldiers, armed men, soldiers, with swords, to hunt down the man who wrote Psalm 23, followed him to caves, put fear into his heart, a man that was used as a very channel to pen 72 Psalms or more, a man that was used that would lead many on their journey through life. Psalm 23 is not only about death. Psalm 23 is about life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. David was trying to tell the people what we're looking at tonight. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The volumes of blessing and gold that is in Psalm 23, and Saul wanted to do away with that blessing. What? A man that was blessed by the Holy Spirit of God. But the Bible tells us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? There is a line by man unseen. It crosses every path. It's the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. People, as they live their lives day by day, they think they can defy God and do whatever they like against God Almighty. Enda Kenny, who was the Prime Minister of the South of Ireland, he was bringing in a referendum, and I wrote to him, I photocopied Genesis 19, I photocopied Romans 1 and Leviticus, and I gave him a half hour good readings on that, and told him not to go through with the referendum, which he totally ignored. And I called at his office 3 times, and one of his right-hand men said, Johnny got your letter, and he read it. But he did nothing about it. And they came with the referendum, and there was 1 million people said they wanted it. 750,000 of them said they didn't want it. And I was sitting one day because the radio station I work with is round the corner from his office. And also round the corner is a little cafe that I'll go into and just see that everything's okay with the CDs, the dates on them, and the elastic band around them. It came to my mind as clear as day, February, on the year that he lost his job. Belshazzar weighed in the balances and found wanting. So, I discovered that Daniel read this writing, but the writing was in a different language. So, I asked somebody, and please all don't run out of this one. I asked somebody to tell me and write it down in Irish, kingdom finished. So, they told me the 2 words, and they wrote it down for me, and all the apostrophes was in the right place. So, we got a nice big piece of paper, and we wrote it. And underlined 3 times, kingdom finished. And I put that through his door on the 11th of February, and I knew he would be coming in the next day to his office free. He did it the weekend. That was February, and May he was out. There is a line by man unseen, it crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. Enda Kenny has yet to stand before the great white throne to an impeccable God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. People cannot defy God and prosper. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Our world and our country is controlled by God Almighty. Psalm 103, the Bible says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. And he will choose who he wills to perform what he wants done. He is the one who is almighty in power. Peter, in his life, as a believer to a certain degree, he got it all wrong. You and I, as we live our lives day by day, don't be looking just for the great big bright lights on the Damascus Road. Don't be looking only for the miracles. Somebody thought it was a great miracle. God spoke to them last week. God Almighty speaks to us every single day. He speaks to us every single hour of every day. In him we live, we move, and we have our very being. Thoughts that have been placed there by the Holy Spirit of God, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And to miss any of the commands of God and to go the other way leads in disaster. But God Almighty says this to, he used Isaiah to tell them in his day, if they had only listened to the little commands, it might only be to phone somebody. It might only be to call with somebody. It might be to do something small for God. Nothing's ever lost. Nothing's ever lost. Those of you who are here tonight, I'll not call out your names, but you know who you are. And you've helped me. You've helped others in the work of the Lord. And we can all look back together over 27 years of the radio work and the messages going out, the people that have heard the gospel, the troubles that have ceased, the violence that has been quenched, people who were once hell-bent on taking people's lives are now changed to doing something sensible for the country. God has his ways and God has his means. He uses the Bible. The word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. There's not a cup of tea you've made. There's not a gift you've given. There's not a dinner you've made that's ever been lost. It's all inextricably linked to a pattern, to a call, to a blessing. And you're all involved in that. But there are those across the country who couldn't care less, have no vision for the lost. And there was a preacher who was in one of the radio stations and things went wrong and he went off it. And I went to him to try and get him back onto it. And it meant nothing to him. It meant nothing to him. Oh, he says, John, he says, you have a call, he says. That's different, he says. He says he was different. We're living in days when people need to hear the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you and I, in your own lives, you have your own secular work. You have your own spiritual work. And think and listen to the little calls of God. He's right beside you. He's not a million miles away. He's with you all, every single day of the week, wherever you are. And he'll give you little calls. He'll give you little commands. And when you obey them, you'll know the blessing. You'll know the joy of the Lord. Peter, he got it all wrong, but then he got it all right. And he followed the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul and mind. And he starts. You say, why did the Lord allow him to do all that? You could have said, the Lord Jesus Christ could have stood his ground and said to Peter, go home and don't come with me now. No. The Lord allowed Peter to go through with his actions of disobedience to teach him a lesson that it's costly to disobey the Lord. It was training for reigning. So when the call came after they were in the room, the Lord gave him another call. Tarry at Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He wasn't going to argue anymore. He was already shaped. He was already taken out of the quarry of sin and reshaped and remade to fit into the building of God Almighty. Christ is the chief cornerstone. And Peter obeyed every call and every command. And one day he was lying in the roof, and the Holy Spirit of God came to him. He says, I want you to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Oh, no, no. The Lord spoke again, what I have called, call not thou common or unclean. There's three men at the gate, Paul or Peter. There's three men at the gate, and they're coming to ask you to go and preach in their place. And preach the gospel. So he learned the lesson that disobedience doesn't work, so he has to obey. And that's why the Lord allowed him to go through all that, to teach him that lesson. He obeyed, and the gospel of Christ came across the entire world. And millions have read his writings and his actions and the power of the Holy Spirit of God in his life because he obeyed. There's no telling what God can do with the life that will obey every little call, every little command, the blessing and the joy that will indeed follow.